Happy Monday out there, Team 42. It's your skipper here, Darius Dell, to present our Macro Minute for Monday, March 23rd, 2026. Hope everyone had a great weekend. So as always, we'll start with the executive summary from today's leadoff morning note. So let's dive right in. Today's key macro question is, did Taco Trump just permanently cede control of global energy markets to Iran? Our answer is maybe. We'll find out in, quote, 5 days. Here are the most important things we learned today regarding the 6 key macro cycles that influence the momentum and dispersion within and across asset markets on a trend basis. We'll start with the positioning cycle because I think that's the most important thing to call out today. So a prospective easing of Middle East tensions catalyzed a cross-asset relief rally after President Trump signaled a delay in strikes on Iranian energy infrastructure, citing constructive diplomacy towards conflict resolution. Specifically, POTUS deferred previously threatened military action targeting Iranian energy and power assets by 5 days, contingent on negotiations aimed at ending the conflict. President Trump disclosed that both parties engaged in, quote, very good and productive conversations regarding a complete and total resolution of our hostilities in the Middle East via Truth Social post at 7:23 a.m. Eastern today. Iranian officials via the semi-official Fars News Agency denied any direct or indirect communication with Trump. Markets were whipsawed by the sudden pivot as traders had observed no prior evidence of diplomatic traction, particularly with Israel initiating strikes on Iranian infrastructure hours earlier and Tehran retaliating across Gulf states. Shifting to the growth cycle, nothing actionable with respect to our Bayesian priors. Regarding the inflation cycle, which I would argue is equally as important as the positioning cycle dynamic this morning, recall that President Trump imposed a Monday evening deadline for Iran to reopen the Strait of Hormuz or face coordinated U.S. and Israeli strikes on power infrastructure, prompting Iran to threaten retaliatory attacks on regional energy, information technology, and water systems. Also recall that Iran's National Defense Council warned Monday that it would mine the entire Persian Gulf if further attacks targeted its coastline. From our qualified vantage point, and I'm someone who learned geopolitical game theory at Yale from arguably the greatest geopolitical game theorist in history, John Gaddis, took a few of his classes at Yale. It appears that Iran will exit this conflict with even more control of the Strait of Hormuz and, as such, will dictate the price of global energy products as the purveyor of marginal supply. Let me read this again. From our qualified vantage point, it appears that Iran will exit this conflict with even more control of the Strait of Hormuz and, as such, will dictate the price of global energy products as the purveyor of marginal supply. Given that this is a very untenable outcome for even Taco Trump, investors should be wary of any pullback in tradable energy goods prices over the next few days. Said differently, if I were running Iran, leaving diplomatic negotiations with anything less than this outcome would be a failure of common sense. You've already seen the taco come out if you're Iran. So now is the time to press the advantages, not the time to give this man an easy out from the conflict that he started. So in my opinion, I would be very weary as an investor of any relief rally right now, because it could be, if I'm Iran, based on everything I learned at Yale from the great John Gaddis, now is the time to step on the enemy's throat and make sure you walk away with control of the Strait of Hormuz permanently. And so we'll see. Getting to monetary policy, Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago President Austin Goolsbee indicated a bimodal distribution of monetary policy tied to geopolitical outcomes, noting that the Fed could either tighten or ease depending on how the Middle East conflict resolves. Goolsbee stated on a Monday CNBC interview that, quote, we could be back to the environment with multiple rate cuts for the year if inflation behaves. And he added, I could see circumstances where we would need to raise rates if it was going a different way and inflation was getting out of control, which is something we warned about last week, recall in our macro minute from last Thursday. Goolsbee, a non-voting member this year, assessed that the Fed is, quote, closer to full employment than we are on the target on the inflation side at the moment. I think inflation has got to be a little bit ahead of the employment in the policy prioritization. Elsewhere, Fed Governor Steve Moran acknowledged on Bloomberg television earlier today that sustained elevated oil prices could transmit into broader goods and services inflation, but dismissed the need to consider rate hikes at this stage. Moran stated, we should, quote, wait for all the information to come in before really changing our outlook, and added, I think it's still premature to have a clear view about what this is going to look like as you look 12 months out. Recall that Fed Chair Jerome Powell reiterated post-decision last week that rate hikes are not the base case for a, quote, vast majority of officials, but also stressing uncertainty around the magnitude and duration of the Middle East conflict and its implications for inflationist growth. This is what we were talking about, last week, which is the distribution of probable monetary policy outcomes, not just for the Fed, but in terms of the signals we got from the ECB, the Bank of Japan, and the Bank of England last week. Distribution has evolved. It was negatively skewed in all those cases, and now it's a lot more Gaussian, I would argue, bimodal. You know, there's a chance that they're hiking rates and tightening monetary policy at some point over the medium term, or going back to doing nothing and or cutting. And so now we have this bimodal distribution, and obviously we've seen the impact of the evolution from a negatively skewed distribution with respect to policy rates to a bimodal distribution with respect to policy rates in terms of the impact we've seen on global fixed income markets and really just across the volatility complex with bond volatility, currency volatility, equity volatility, credit spreads all breaking out to bullish from the perspective of our volatility, just momentum signal in recent weeks. With respect to fiscal policy, nothing actionable with respect to our Bayesian priors. And then lastly, with respect to the liquidity cycle in China, the PBOC's decision to leave its benchmark policy rates unchanged is inconsistent with our outlook for slowing below trend inflation. PBOC has largely refrained from lowering its policy rate since early 2025, and instead has accelerated direct liquidity support for the Chinese banking sector, likely to curtail the impact of persistent capital outflows upon the renminbi. As a result of the PBOC's careful easing strategy, which itself stems from the impossible trinity of monetary policy, liquidity in China is expanding 27% on a three-month annualized basis through February, outpacing all other major liquidity supplying economies. Eurozone liquidity is up 11% on a three-month annualized basis. Japan's down 2%. Switzerland's up 15%. The UK is up 5%. And the US is up 4%. These positive deltas through February, these monthly data points through February, have reversed sharply on a month-to-date basis, because we know that because, again, the dollar, bond volatility, currency volatility, global interest rates are all countercyclical leading indicators of global liquidity. When they break out to bullish VAMs, you know liquidity in real time, even though we can't track it in real time, is breaking down to bearish VAMs. And so we'll see how long it lasts. Obviously, it's a function of this geopolitical conflict. And if I'm, I'm not rooting for Iran, obviously, but if I'm Iran, I would not give President Trump a very easy out here, because they've already demonstrated an ability to shut down the Strait of Hormuz. And in my opinion, reopening the Strait of Hormuz is going to cost the Western world, in my opinion. So if they're playing their cards correctly, they may not. Continue reviewing to learn whether or not our institutional grade risk management overlays, KISS and Dr. Mo, are evolving their signals in response to these or anticipated fundamental dynamics. Transition to our 42 macro dashboard is always a wrap up with the question from our community. This one's titled Gold Pivot. Just this quick note, just to say how refreshing it is watching the around the horn tonight and hearing Didi both acknowledge the underperformance in the model reaction to the gold drawdown recently and outline the reasons and steps being taken to remedy for the future. No one can ever be perfect, but I know that we're in safe hands when we see such an honest review followed by a data-driven improvement for the system for the future. No sign of influence or head in the sand here. Great work, Didi. This sort of intellectual integrity is rare in the wild and confirms, like I needed any more confirmation, that I found myself in the right community. So the reason I wanted to bring that up and highlight our signal failure on gold recently is because, I think there's a big difference in what we're trying to do here for our global investor community relative to the folks who typically sit in my seat, whose job it is, they mostly focus on new subscribers, more revenue. I could care less if we ever acquire another new subscriber. We don't need any new subscribers. What I need is for our current subscribers to have the best possible outcomes. And so we can't do that. We're never going to maximize and optimize, our process and our content for our current subscribers to have the best possible outcomes if we don't attack our, mistakes with humility and attack it with the insights and the intellect and more importantly, the academic rigor that's required to fix it. So just kind of, quickly highlighting this, the signal failure on gold, one of the things that was contributory to that, that we learned was our volatility adjusted momentum signal for gold was programmed like a currency. I mean, gold's been a currency for almost, for 6,000 plus years. But what we've learned in the last kind of 18 months or so is that gold's relationship between price and volatility have actually evolved. Materially evolved. And so gold is now behaving more like a traditional commodity, where there's sort of a supply risk premium in the embedded into the marketplace in terms of the relationship between price and volatility, which, you know, we did the due diligence to understand that so that we could reprogram the model so that the model would be more responsive to drawdowns like this. And then another thing that we did was, you know, amend our KISS system to apply the top-down risk management overlay back to gold. Recall that we removed it heading into 2025, which helped us maximize upside capture last year. Recall that when we had the drawdown that we accurately predicted fundamentally and also traded really well from a KISS and Dr. Mo perspective, that gold really did really well and performed positively and created positive results in that drawdown, which is not something it would have done had we had that top-down risk management overlay. So you can make the case that we got lucky on that last year. And so responding to this most recent episode of signal failure, we're actually we're adding back that top-down risk management overlay in gold to our systematic KISS system in order to optimize the model to prevent these types of type two errors ever again. And so the key takeaway here is that we're not running some investment content gong show whereby the whole goal is to tickle your amygdala and sell you bull porn if you're the kind of person who likes to munch on bull porn, or sell you bear porn if you're the kind of person who likes to munch on bear porn. That's not what we're doing here. This is an institutional grade risk management overlay. It's institutional grade macro risk management product. We have many of the top hedge funds, top asset managers, top pension funds, top insurance funds, top family offices, top wealth management platforms all here receiving our content and consuming our content. I think we're up to somewhere close to $30 trillion in aggregate AUM across our client base. And so, this is, I just want to bring this up because, again, this is not something you typically see from folks who sit in the seat like I do. Most people tend to hide from mistakes. I've seen people, I've worked with people who actually lie through their teeth about the mistakes and tell you that they didn't make any mistakes. But I'll be very honest that we did not get our global investor community out of gold as fast as we should have last week. Prior to last week, because we did get them out of stocks and we got them out of credit. We got them out of a lot of risk assets going back several weeks ago and throughout the and over the course of the past few months. So by and large, our systems are working particularly, very well, extremely well, probably much better than most systems out there. However, with this one particular asset that is really core to what we do here from a KISS perspective in terms of gold, our signals had failure. So we had to acknowledge the failure, apologize for the failure. Part of it was I was just traveling last week, so I didn't get to it as soon as I probably should have. So we acknowledged the failure, apologized for the failure, and then ultimately adjust the models and optimize the models so that this particular, we don't have this type of mistake again. So the reason I bring all this up and bring all this up publicly is because I want you guys to recognize the difference in what we're doing here at 42 Macro in terms of helping investors achieve their strategic investment objectives versus what a lot of folks who do what I do for a living, relative to what they're doing out there, which is, they're focused on subscriptions, selling subscriptions, subscriber acquisition. And so you can't ever be honest if you're always trying to acquire new subscribers. You always got to lie and tell everybody everything's great. But that's not my goal. My goal is not to tell you everything great. My goal is to learn from mistakes so that we can improve our systems and optimize ourselves for achieving the success that we all are used to achieving here at 42 Macro. So hopefully that was helpful. We'll wrap it up there. Darius Dell here, presenting our Macro Minute for Monday, March 23rd, 2026. Best of luck out there today. We'll catch you back here tomorrow. Cheers.
Disclaimer, 42 Macro does not provide, and no portion of our content purports to be, individualized or specific investment advice. And 42 Macro does not provide investment advice to individuals. All information provided by 42 Macro is general in nature and is made without regard to individual levels of sophistication or investment experience, investment preferences, objectives, or risk parameters, and without regard to the suitability of the content for individuals or entities who may access it. No information provided by 42 Macro should be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any security or investment vehicle, nor should it be construed as tailored or specific to you or consumer thereof. You understand and agree that our content does not constitute specific recommendations of any particular investment, security, portfolio, transaction, or strategy, nor does it recommend any specific course of action is suitable for any specific person or entity or group of persons or entities. At any point in time, the employees of 42 Macro may own a portion of or all the ETF securities discussed in 42 Macro research content. 42 Macro Research content is based upon information from sources believed to be reliable. 42 Macro is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions of information, nor is it responsible for the accuracy or authenticity of the information upon which it relies.